This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by Smart Local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay and we are The Drive. And Coach Prime has a huge season in front of him. We're going to shift gears here in just a second, but I wanted to play this audio. Is this from today or yesterday? Do we know if this is from today or yesterday? Don't know exactly.
I want to say maybe today.
I think it's from today. I think it's from today. Well, regardless, we haven't heard from Coach Prime in a formal setting. He's on Jimmy Fallon and doing the Mad Dog radio and stuff like that. But this is Coach Prime talking about how he needs to get better at in-game decision-making.
For me, in-game things that may happen, you can't prepare yourself for everything, but you try to. But some things that you want to change, just the thought process going into it. But it's going to be tremendous, much better communication. First of all, we have microphones in the helmets now, so the direct, we could talk right to the quarterback or right to the linebacker and get the calls in. That's going to be phenomenal. That's going to help tremendously. I wish it was several guys on each side of the ball, which would be tremendous. But in-game type of things, you can't be prepared for them, but you got to think through all of them. And I think we may have missed the boat on a couple occasions. But overall, I think it was a good season when it comes to that. But I'm very harsh on myself, much more harsh than you guys are. But we're going to win.
All right. You know what? I'm glad that he went out there on the record and said, I need to get better at in-game decision-making, because there was a handful of times where it's like, what are you thinking? And it's like, it almost felt like he was operating a couple times too much as a dad and not a coach.
I like that. Yeah, looking at the games with Coach Prime, there's a lot to be desired when it comes to the coaching part of it and being a head coach and understanding what needs to be done and having your kids ready. But it was his first year in the Power 5 conference. Now he understands what I need to do to prepare myself and my players so that if anything happens on a dime and things swing drastically in a different way, we're ready, we're prepared, and I am prepared to make a decision and not just on the fly and hoping something goes well.
All right, I like that. If he's ever struggling, maybe you can go to one of his chapters he wrote. What did I write here out of Elevate and Dominate? Oh, yeah, I got to do this.
Elevate.
Oh, my gosh.
Feel the chill.
Oh, God. Dude, don't trigger me on a Wednesday. Not supposed to be talking about Ross today.
You got the PTSD.
Oh, my. The next 5 years, I want to win two.
Oh, I like it, Russ.
Oh, no, Russ. Oh, no. Someone said, and I saw this headline at denversports.com, that an NFL executive said that Russell Wilson could be cut after Steelers training camp. Whoa. So according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, at least one NFL executive feels that way. And let's see here if I can... appearing on NFL Live yesterday, Schefter said, quote, they can appoint Russell Wilson the starter. They can say Fields is the backup. The fact of the matter is they have the luxury of letting this play out during camp and doing whatever is best for the football team. There's no commitment, obligation, or loyalty to any one of these guys. They didn't pay very much for either of them. And Schefter went on to say, quote, I even had an executive say, if Justin Fields outplayed him during training camp, they could see them moving on from him before the season. End quote. Wow. What do you think? Schefter doesn't just say that stuff willy-nilly on national TV.
He does it. But look, this is football, Zach. You're supposed to compete. We've been saying Russ needs to compete. And if Russ is not willing to be a backup, if he loses it out and he knows he loses it out, then yeah, they're going to cut him because they don't want to have the distraction. But it's always funny and it's cute that there's somebody that's always out there speaking and you never know their name.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like it's the pillow talk and someone saying that. It's just like, all right, man, anybody could say that. We've been talking about that. Now, if it's coming for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's one thing. But you're talking about somebody that probably has no communication or relationship with someone like Mike Tomlin. Maybe he does, but probably don't.
Yeah.
And so you're just saying stuff just because you're saying it.
Yeah, kind of just speculating from afar. Do you think Russell would be a distraction if he was the backup? Or just not him being a distraction, like he'd be like acting out, but like just his presence. Is Russell Wilson just being Russ as a backup? Would that be distracting?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look what happened to him here. Look what happened to him when he was under Sparky, right? He still was the same Russ.
Yeah.
Now, did he like it? No. I think that he'll stay professional and want to get traded if he can, which, Zach, last year there was a lot of quarterbacks that went down.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, I thought about that when we read this quote from this executive who said that they may cut him. That may be the best. If he doesn't win that job, it may just be best. Get me back out on the street. Now, that would be wildly humbling for Russ, who, you know, went on the record again and said he wants to win more Super Bowls and his best football is still 5 to 7 years out of the best football, which is wild to me. But
look at you.
But
I'm thinking that you're the executive producer?
Executive producer?
Yeah, executive producer, man.
Of what?
Or not the executive of who Adam Schefter was talking to.
Oh,
I'm starting to think you're the guy.
well, I was going to say.
We could have had a rap with what I was just saying.
Well.
I was out here beatboxing.
I was going to say, if you're going to lose the job, you might as well be out on the street because teams' quarterbacks will get hurt. And if you're a contender whose teams, you know, if you're the Jets last year and Rodgers goes down week one, you wouldn't rather have Russell Wilson over Zach Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's like, well, we'll see how it plays out, man. I actually may move to Pittsburgh just to watch that training camp every single day. Then they go, they break away. They go to like somewhere else. It's like something, maybe like Loretta, Pennsylvania or I forget where they go.
Well, we're going to have to move out there if the Denver Broncos don't let us in.
Well, yeah.
Like, we're going to have no choice but to go watch Russ.
Right, if Sean Payton keeps the media out of training camp again, they can't do that again. I don't think that.
Free us.
I don't think that they'll do that again. I hope not. you know, we were asking the question earlier today, and I want to open it up to our listeners as well here. On the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And this is a bit of, it doesn't give me any sort of joy whatsoever. In fact, it's the opposite. It's painful to ask the question, given what I want to happen. And that's the Broncos to be good. I want the Broncos to be good. I've wanted the Broncos to be good.
We need them to be good.
Phil, I mean, this town is starving. Broncos country is starving. And I've been doing this job for 7 seasons, about to be start number 8 here. I haven't experienced a winning season, let alone a playoff berth.
We're an 8-year vet.
I mean, this feels like I'm the Justin Simmons of sports talk radio, where it's like I'm here, but I'm just not a part of any winning.
Well, see, I thought we traded you to New York when you were gone. Trade season was around the corner. Got rid of you.
You'd like that. You'd like that.
Zach was wanting too much money. They were like, we gotta let you go, buddy.
Well, so I'm just prefacing all this to say, and to ask the question to you.
Yeah.
Not right now. Not right now, but could we forecast a scenario if the Broncos don't figure out their household and get their stuff together? Could they ultimately lose their crown as the king of Denver sports?
Mm. See, that's hard. That's hard because I know the fan base here, Broncos country, we love us some football.
Of course.
And even though we have had an eight-year drought period.
Longest in their NFL existence.
Football will forever hold that crown, especially here in Denver, because of what has been done here with the history of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Now, the Denver Nuggets are doing something special. They're creating a dynasty. You can't take that from them. The Colorado Avalanche are doing something special. But there's nothing like the Denver Broncos and them winning. They just need a win. And so I think people are waiting to give them the crown back because it's the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm not arguing if the Broncos are good that they, you know, and I'm not even arguing anything. I'm just asking the question,
ask the question.
Because basically, of course, I agree with you. It Americans love NFL football to almost an unhealthy degree. I mean, you can add up the World Series, Stanley Cup, NBA Finals, and it doesn't hit. You can add it all up, and it won't hit like a big-time regular season Monday night game, Sunday night game. They just, the NFL is king. But I'm asking the question because this team is going through the roughest rough patch in the history of this franchise in their NFL existence. You have to go back to when John F. Kennedy was the president and they're like playing in the AFL or whatever to when it's been this bad. And we don't see something tangible in front of us that is inspiring. In fact, a lot of people are just expecting the Broncos maybe to be the worst version of themselves here this coming year. Now, I won't accept that for reasons we've already talked about. I'm not accepting that.
Yeah.
But there's people like, oh, well, they'll just be terrible this year and pick the best quarterback in two drafts from that. It's like, hold on a second. But there are people who hold that thought. And if that actually happens, while the Denver Nuggets have the best player in the world and say they win another championship, you know, the Avs have three of the top, I don't know, 12 players in the world. They could go win a Stanley Cup. And I just wonder, again, I'm asking the question. I'm not telling anyone this is how it is. But I'm asking the question, could we see a scenario in 2-3 years if the Broncos don't figure it out, if things just change? It's not a birthright of being number one in a town that's having so much success across the street.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not a birthright. But is it for the Denver Broncos? It might be.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. If that's the answer, that's what it is.
Now, there was one other team that was up there with the Denver Broncos that I remember, right? I remember. I know some of our listeners know, you know, a little bit more than I do about this situation, but the Colorado Rockies, when they were in Rocktober, that was huge here in Colorado. That was huge. And we haven't had that here with the Rockies, so it's hard and it sucks because that showed how many people loved baseball. That showed how many people are truly baseball fans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they haven't been good, so now they've kind of went into hiding.
Yeah.
For the Denver Broncos, you know, even when they've not been good, people are still there riding for them, still there out, you know, with hope.
Yeah.
Because football is such a dominant sport right now. And I don't see that changing here. But it could. I mean, it could. You got the Denver Nuggets. Okay, getting ready to go for their second championship, right? The Colorado Avalanche are, you know, heating up. What if they hold another cup? What then happens? But I still think no matter what, when the time comes where the Denver Broncos are good, they're going to be given the crown right away.
That's, again, I don't doubt that at all if the Broncos are good.
Yeah.
But the problem is they're projected to be one of the worst in the league. Ah. We don't know who's going to be touching the football every play. So, again, I'm just asking the question. And by the way, I want to say this again. I mentioned it earlier in the show. This conversation was written about 2 or 3 days ago, but I believe our buddy Will Peterson from DenverSports.com and Mike and Mark talked about it. It was either yesterday or the day before. I forget. We just had so much on our plate. We just didn't get to it. And that just happens. But I do think it's a relevant conversation. And in fact, I think that to a very morbid degree that the foothold with the Broncos has been assisted in some ways by the lack of availability of the Nuggets and Avalanche games. Mm. And I hate talking about this. I'll just be honest with you. I don't. It's an old story, but it's still current.
It's a fact.
Yeah. And it's, well, I think this is the fourth season in a row. Yes. We haven't been able to watch our local teams. And I know
crazy,
some people. And I know, you know, some people just, hey, well, just switch cable providers. And look, you and I watch every game.
We do.
We're good on this side. But a lot of our listeners just don't. And I know personal families who look forward all week long to when the Nuggets are on national TV.
Yeah.
And they base evenings around it. And the heartbreak when you think the Avs are on TNT and it's blacked out and stuff. So, again, I'm not interested in getting into the weeds of why that's the case. But I do want to bring it up because I do wonder if would the Nuggets and Avalanche be even more popular right now to the common man and their children?
Yeah.
If their games were available and if the question that I'm asking here today would be further along if the games were just more accessible.
And you know what? It could be. It sucks that you have people here, your own people, right, that have been here their whole life, that can't watch the games every night when they're on TV. I think that what separates the Denver Nuggets and the Colorado Avalanche at this time, both teams have a bunch of superstars. Colorado Avalanche have a handful of superstars.
They do.
The Denver Nuggets have a mega star.
Mega supernova star. Yeah.
And Jokic,
yep.
Right? I'm not going to say superstar. I think you said don't call Jamal Murray a superstar, but
yeah.
A star?
Yeah. Can you say that? It's actually confusing because he's actually never been an all-star, but he does play like a star when stars should burn the brightest.
Yeah.
It's kind of complicated.
But here in Denver, can we call him a star?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
A star. MPJ is one of those that if he can just ever get his act together and just be consistent the whole entire year, you have another star sitting right there. The Denver Broncos? Who's the star?
Yeah.
Who's bringing people to the games, right? Who's that character, that good guy, that bad guy? See, that's one of the things that like I prided myself off of. As I was from here, I had all this hair, and I was likable. So people loved to go watch me just because they knew I was going to go out there and put on a show. But who is that now for the Denver Broncos, right? Who is it? Pat Surtain? It's hard. He's a cornerback. We need that quarterback, right? That quarterback, maybe even an all-star running back, a receiver, somebody that's going to touch the ball and be on TV a lot.
Yeah.
We don't have that with the Denver Broncos right now. That's hurting us.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree. Pat Surtain's the best football player the Broncos have.
Hands down.
But I love Pat Surtain's disposition and his personality. He's kind of low-key, doesn't say a lot, lets his play do the talking. That's like, I love that stuff. But we've seen corners with these big, bombastic personalities and maybe can, because they get so popular, like maybe become the face of a team as a cornerback. But Pat Surtain, despite all-pro status, doesn't have that.
No.
And I don't care about that. But the fact that there's not really another answer other than Pat Surtain, who, by the way, I think could probably walk from one end of the mall to another and get asked for some autographs for sure, but not like, oh my gosh, you know, Peyton Manning's walking through the mall.
2015, Zach, you go down the line, 2015, that's all-stars. We haven't had nothing here in Denver since 2015 when you had Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. That's just on the offensive side of the ball. Okay, defensive side of the ball. Chris Harris Jr., all right, Tlaib. Yo, Ward, sitting right there at safety. DeMarcus Ware. One in. Vaughn Miller.
Right. Imagine Vaughn Miller trying to walk through the mall.
Yes.
It's not
happening. Garrett Wolf.
Yeah.
We have not had that here since 2015.
Right.
We haven't had an all-star here since 2015.
I don't think the Broncos have had an offensive Pro Bowler. I think they have the longest route in the NFL with an offensive Pro Bowler.
What was the last one? Cortland?
But he wasn't. I'm not talking about. What am I looking for? Like a backup, an alternate.
Yeah, alternate.
No, because he was pissed. I remember he went to the. He went to the podium.
Yeah.
The day. This is 2018 when he was over 1,100 yards and like whatever it was.
18 or 19? I think it was 19. 2019 is when he.
19. Went up, you're okay. Right, because his first year was 18. He went for 704 yards. The next year was like 1,100 and something. And it didn't matter who was playing quarterback. Sutton was balling, and he didn't make the Pro Bowl. And I remember he went to the podium, and he answered every question. It is what it is. It is what it is. He was so pissed, and he should have been.
So he's still, to this day.
He was an alternate. He was not.
Even this year, he was alternate. Because I think
oh,
he was
yeah.
the game. Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. He had the touchdowns, but he wasn't on the initial. No way. So I'm not making this up. The Broncos have the longest drought of not having an offensive Pro Bowler. Forget an all pro.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I think you're the last one.
Yeah, it might be. I would have to look into that.
I don't. I already know it. I just said it. 2018, when you were a Pro Bowl as a rookie.
2018.
That is the last offensive Pro Bowler that the Denver Broncos have had. You're retired, sitting next to me.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
There has not been stars.
That has to change if they want to continue this, because that's what the Denver Nuggets have. They have a megastar. Zach, we have a megastar in the state of Colorado with Jokic with the Denver Nuggets. That's crazy to even think about. Nathan McKinnon knocking on that door, getting ready to have his MVP this year. Like, and then the Denver Broncos right now. You know, they need some superstars.
It's kind of wild because, and I want to get a sampling of the text line here, but it is wild that it's the opening line of the old Tale of Two Cities, and I'm forgetting that it's like Charles Dickens or someone. Hopefully, I didn't make a fool of myself of saying that, but it's an old writer, Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. That's like the first famous line. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. That's Colorado sports right now. It was the best of times. The Nuggets won a championship. We had a parade. Jokic is like minus 400 to win the MVP for a third time. Are you kidding me? On the heels of a finals MVP? We got the Avalanche. McKinnon favored to win the Hart Trophy. You got three of the 12 best players in the sport. You're amongst favored to win the Stanley Cup. And then you turn the coin over. And it's the worst of times. It's Broncos' worst NFL stretch ever. The Colorado Rockies losing 100 games for the first time ever. So it's,
and I never, ever heard somebody getting an F grade to start the season off.
Yeah.
I never seen that.
Yeah.
By the way, MLB started, right? The Dodgers played late at night, I think.
Yeah, they were in like Seoul or something like that.
You know, my father-in-law kept bugging me at 3:45 in the morning.
Really?
He wanted me to watch the game at 3:45 in the morning because that's, you know.
Yeah,
You know, which is crazy. You know, he loves his Dodgers.
KJ, what is the general vibe of the text line here? What are you looking at? The RamosLaw.com text line.
Well, first off, they just want to let you guys know you're wrong because Sean Payton is a star.
Oh, my
gosh. Just
got
to ask him.
Yeah, right.
And they also they're a little conflicted because they're – their biggest thing with the Broncos is not that PS2 isn't a star. He just doesn't make enough plays to make himself a superstar.
Okay.
And that's kind of where I think Broncos country is like, okay, we got somebody. He's just not somebody who is a face of the league somebody.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, here, bottom line. Broncos, figure your bleep out. Yes. Figure it out. If I'm going to keep returning to this. If you move on from Russell Wilson, and you know I was in favor of that, because it gives you a better chance to win, and you're willing to take the largest dead cap in the history of the NFL. By the way, we know they're splitting it up into 2 years. The front portion, without the second portion, is the largest dead cap in NFL history. And that's after they divided it. So and the reason you did that was that gave you a better chance to win. So you don't get to do that, and then everyone say, it's okay if you lose. No, 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 no. You're the Denver Broncos. You have a $100 million coach, and you made a move that gave you a better chance to win. Guess what I'm going to expect you to do? Figure out a way to win.
Figure it out.
Figure it out. All right. We'll take a timeout. I think we may be about to experience the natural sting of college sports here in the next few days, and somehow it's actually a good thing, and I'll tell you why coming up next.
You put me down, oh, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. So shame on me now, moved me to places I've never been. Now I'm lying on the cold, hard ground. Oh, oh, trouble, trouble, trouble.
It's that time of the year again where everyone's going to be filling out a bracket. Well, guess what? You could win 5 stacks if you have the winning bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Entry closes before the first game tips off tomorrow. All right? It doesn't cost anything to enter. There is literally no downside. So go hit up denversports.com. You'll see the big banner at the top. Or you could go denversports.com/hoops. Doesn't matter how you get there. Just get there and fill out a damn bracket. Have you filled out a bracket, Phil?
I did.
Did you need help with your email signing on to fill out the bracket?
I did.
Classic ex-athlete. Classic. All of them. Write them down.
You're talking about ex-athlete.
Yeah.
You were one of them.
Yeah, but I have a brain in my head.
No, you don't. You're the scarecrow. If I only had a brain.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, by the way, tomorrow is just going to be a fun day. It's one of my favorite days of the year, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And if I didn't love this job so much and coming in here and doing the show with you, I would just take tomorrow and Friday off. Like, you know, people for years have
according to Zach, every big event, Zach is taking off. We got the Rockies. Oh, he's taking that off.
No, I said if we're not
you
down.
You threatened everybody.
I did not threaten everyone. It was just a bit of a warning. If we're not going downtown, I am taking the day off and I will be downtown.
He's like, look, the show will not go on if I have to miss opening day. So you guys better pack your stuff and bring it with me.
That's one of, again, my most fun days of the year, being down there. That energy is so cool. And we are going to be down there.
Yeah,
we'll give you those details probably next week. But we are going to step out of the house and go to Stoney's tomorrow on 11th and Lincoln to watch the tournament. And it's just going to be so fun. The TV's wall to wall. You're not going to miss a thing. You can hang out, listen to us. You want to come say what's up to Phil. Maybe have him sign something. Grab a quick picture. Phil is great with that stuff. And we're going to be there 2 to 6. Really looking forward to an action-packed day.
And I'm excited and to get the brackets going and win it all. Get the 5 G's.
You can't win.
I'm going to be under somebody else's name.
Just openly cheating the contest.
What can I say? If there's a guy named Rogers there, it is me.
Okay. All right. It's an HR violation. We'll let it go. But I said going in the last break, Phil, I said I think we may be about to experience the natural sting because of the natural order of college sports.
Mm.
And what I mean is Nico Medved has done such a great job with that Colorado State program. He got here. They were an 11-win team. 2 years later, they won more than 20 games. Flash forward to now, back in the tournament with an entirely different group from the tournament team 2 years ago. And you're talking about winning a tournament game last night in dominant fashion.
Dominant.
I think the Rams fans may be one more win away from Nico Medved getting scooped up by a Power 5 school. And I said going into the break that the sting of college sports, it may be a good thing, because when you made that hire 6 years ago, you hope that you put yourself in a position where a Power 5 team would look at your coach because you've had so much damn success.
Nico Medved has earned this opportunity to move up. And that's that, you know, it sucks for the CSU Ram fans. It does. It sucks for CSU in general. He's one of the best things that has happened to them with the basketball situation. But you said something right there. He's one game away from him pretty much being poached, taken. No, he's already been poached or taken. He's one game away from, if he loses, yeah, he's out of here. But he's also another one game away from saying we win, so he gets another opportunity to be a CSU Ram, a head coach for one more game at least. Because I feel like Nico Medved is going to be on a different team, a Power 5 team, at the end of this.
It's very likely, and I hope no one is. And I know someone is saying, why would you be talking about that? You know, we have had a conversation yesterday with a buddy who covers the program. And he's like, this is very relevant. It's very relevant. Nico Medved's 50 years old. There's still enough time left in his career to make another move if he wants to.
Yeah.
He's also been around the block, and he also may say, not trying to be happier than happy. Mm. And sometimes just where you are, you know, he's compensated well up there. Now, is he making $3 million a year? No. Could he get an offer to make $3 million a year? Maybe. But he's taken care of, and maybe they reduce something in his contract, give him a little bit more money, and make him feel even more comfortable. So maybe that's the case. Maybe he'll be here for 16 years, like Tad Boyle has been, basically. It's actually a good problem to have.
Oh, it's a really good problem to have. A bad problem for CSU at the end of the day, because now they losing a coach that has done really well for them. But for Medved, it's a stepping stone. It's like, why do you get into this? Because you want to be recognized, right? Go to the Power 5. Try to be dominant in that. Get paid more money. So, like, he's doing what anybody else would do.
Yeah. And when you win by 25, like, they didn't just beat Virginia. Now, and a lot of the narrative today, and I don't like it because it takes some of the limelight away from CSU, but a lot of the narrative is, Virginia just sucks at basketball. They're no good. Well, how'd they finish third in the ACC? They weren't tied for third. Yeah. Only two teams ahead of them in the ACC. Their names are Duke and North Carolina. I watched that team win 8 straight in the ACC. So let's give some credit to the Rams for winning by, 25 points in a tournament game. I think it's remarkable. And here's Medved talking to his team or talking about his team after the game.
I tell you what, hard to imagine tonight going any better for us, but I'm just so proud of our guys, the way they've handled the last 48 hours. It's just been incredible. The preparation, the travel, the mentally having to change, from Selection Sunday to now, they've just done a beautiful job. And their mindset is just thankfulness, grateful to be here, playing the greatest tournament in the world. And I told the guys today, listen, only 9% of the teams get an at-large bid. So that's pretty special to do that. So let's go play. And we did tonight. And now we're excited about the next one. We get to go on a plane to Charlotte here, and we get ready for Texas on Thursday.
Well, can't wait for tomorrow against the Longhorns. It's going to be great. And I want to, give a shout out to this kid, Joel Scott, who came from the Division II levels, I think Black Hills State in South Dakota, and the other big kid, Patrick Cartier, was a Division II transfer as well. Nick Clifford transferred from your Buffaloes in a rare transfer to the Rams. And I just thought all three of those guys, with Nick Clifford and Joel Scott specifically, I thought they showed out on the national stage. And I hung out with Nick Clifford a little bit this summer. Seemed like a great kid. But I found myself just really rooting for the two Division II transfers and the transfer from CU last night.
Oh, they all three did well, and it's good to see that, man. It really is. Hopefully, they can beat Texas now. That's the big question now. Is like, what do they have for the University of Texas? Number 7, right?
Yeah. Here we go. Fixing to find out. We'll be on the air tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
Watching it happen. And I cannot wait. We're going to be at Stoney's. If you want to come say hello, we'll be there from 2 to 6 on 11th and Lincoln. Okay. Your Buffs. Your CU Buffs. What an act to follow after what Colorado State did last night. Are they up to the task? We'll give our predictions and hear from Tad Boyle on what we're in store for coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not 2, not 3, not 4.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil. I
got five. All right, what are we watching for tonight? It's the Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. We got Drew kicking around. We got Kamaje here. I think Rich Carney is going to pop in.
Drew, I ain't seen you this whole day. I thought you were gone.
I was just in here 10 minutes ago. What are you talking about?
Okay,
I was trying to, find your password.
Oh, I like it. Did you find it?
Oh, my God, you guys. All right, Phil, what are you watching for tonight?
Ah, man, this is a tough decision, but yo, KJ. Give my theme music.
What?
Let's go! I love it. It's our time now. CSU, handle business. But now, Colorado University, the Boulder, the Buffs, it's time for them to handle business tonight. That's what I'll be watching. I can't wait for it.
Man, this is going to be a really good game. I actually haven't looked at the number. If it's moved yesterday, it was like, what did we say, 2.5 about a 2-point?
I think it's up to 3 now.
With CU being favored?
CU's a 3-point favorite out there.
Okay. I mean, this is going to be a dogfight. Mm. We know these two teams played last year.
Just to update, what Drew said is actually 3.5 now.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that usually means some money is coming in on Colorado, moving that line.
Let's go.
Typically, that's what it means. But these two teams played last year in the non-conference, and Boise State came out on top. We heard from Tad Boyle that he believes CU is a more talented team.
Yep.
But Boise State, they're a unit. They play together. Gonna be a tall task, man. Gonna be a tall task. Speaking of that, this is Tad. Yesterday, he joined us in hour number 2. If you want to hear the whole conversation, you can hit up the Drive podcast. This is what he expects from Boise State tonight.
Yeah, Boise State, we played them a year ago, guys. We were in the tournament in November in South Carolina, and they beat us. Now Javon Hadley did not play in that game. Tristan DeSilva played in about a third of it, I think. Mm. He came down with a migraine headache. and didn't play, you know, the last half. They are a tough-minded, well-coached team. Their coach, Leon Rice, is a good friend of mine. He's been there 14 years. He got the job in Boise just when I got the job in Boulder. And we're in for a battle because they're tough-minded kids that play hard. They play the right way. It's interesting. I think individually, if you went player by player, you know, I feel like we have more talent than they do.
Yeah.
But collectively, they play so much better as a unit, and they're better collectively than they are individually. So we have to understand that we can't look at them. We can't, you know, their record is the same as our record. And but they're a tough-minded group. They beat us on the boards. They played tougher than us a year ago when we lost to them in South Carolina. So we have to understand that, and our guys do, and we'll be ready. I promise you.
We'll be ready. I promise you. I love the sound of that.
I love it.
I, too, will be watching this game. I'll be so focused on it. And of all the guys that will play tonight, I'm looking at KJ Simpson.
Okay.
That'll be who I'm watching number one because that dude has really kind of emerged as the guy from this group. And that's Tristan Da Silva's great. Cody Williams, top 10 draft pick. And, you know, Hadley and Lampkin, you know. But it's KJ Simpson who's kind of the straw that stirs that drink. I'm expecting him to have a big game. And I believe that this will be, you know, yesterday he came on the air and said, you know, I've already bet the under of the CSU game. I think it's going to be a rock fight. And it turned out to be exactly that. Not to the same degree, but I do think this will be a slower paced, lower scoring game. But I got CU winning this thing. 68-59. CU takes care of business.
Okay, okay.
Drew Spivak behind the glass. What do you got?
Well, I could throw a curveball at 7 to stay up in the middle of the night and watch some Dodgers-Padres regular season baseball action. But of course not. I'm going to be watching the Buffs tonight. You mentioned Tristan Da Silva. That's who I'm watching. That's the guy I want to see step up. Coming off a 9-point performance against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, Tristan's got to be better, I think, in order for the Buffs to win. I know KJ's the guy that serves the drink. Tristan's got to be better for the Buffs. If he can get to that 22-point range, I think the Buffs are going to win this thing.
I really like it. When he's got it going, they're just a different team. He just adds a different dynamic. We've seen him have big games now. I mean, in the month of March, 27 against Stanford, 22 against Oregon. So he needs to be that version of himself and less of the 9-point version against Oregon in that title game. Richie Carney, what do you got for us? What are you watching for tonight?
Well, Drew almost stole my thunder there, but he doesn't have the gas to stay up for it like I do. Obviously, we're all going to be locked in to the CU game tonight. So I'm going to parlay that. After that, I got Vanderpump Rules on the DVR to stay on brand for the reality TV. It aired last night. Couldn't watch it because I was at Beer League Dodgeball.
Okay.
So I'm going to watch that, and that's going to fuel me until 4 a.m. when I do watch a little Dodgers-Padres Seoul Series Korean baseball action.
Oh, God. I'd rather watch Vanderpump Rules, I think.
That's going to be the sandwich. It's going to be the middle. That's Beer the meat.
Dodgeball.
Hey, Vanderpump now.
Hey.
That show.
LVP.
they go. They go. All right, KJ, what are you looking for tonight, Mr. Kamaji?
You already know what time it is. Women's hoops. We got number 12 Columbia versus number 12 Vanderbilt.
Number 12 Columbia? Like from New York City? Like Columbia, the smart school?
Yep.
Holy smokes. They're the 12th ranked team in the country?
Yeah, and not only that, they were a at-large bid. So they are fighting to play number 5 Baylor. If Vanderbilt wins, I think Vanderbilt has everything it takes to upset Baylor. Columbia, I just don't think so. Princeton was the best Ivy League school this year. It's not even close, honestly. So that's what I'll be keeping my eye on because if Vanderbilt wins, I may have to change some things in my bracket.
So. All right. I've called a basketball game at Columbia and a football game. What is the nickname of their team?
The Blue Jackets.
No.
The Panthers.
No.
What I got it, boys. It's the Lions.
It's the Lions. Okay. All right, another question. What player from Columbia's football team went on to have like a 10-year career in the NFL and now works in sports media? Nickname is Dat Dude. Marcellus Wiley.
I didn't know he was
Columbia.
You guys
remember Marcellus Wiley? Yeah. Yeah, he played football at Columbia.
I'm not surprised because that little smart talking joker right there.
He is a smart talker.
I swear, make you want to slap him sometime.
Oh, my gosh. All right, best of luck to your Buffs, man.
Oh, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
I think they're going to get it done, man. I think I may be putting an uncomfortable amount of money on them getting it done.
after the pregame speech Tad gave us. Huh?
Yes.
By the way, you had two black eyes after that. He was getting.
He called me out. I told him I thought your team was dead in the water, Coach. He said that's on you.
Zach likes coming out with the strong punches.
Well,
Coach, I'm just gonna be real. I thought y'all sucked.
I can't be fake and say they were dead, and then he comes on the air. I'm like, I always believed, Coach. I just gotta keep it real. Raise my hand when I'm wrong. That's all. If you want to check out that full conversation with Tad Boyle, check out podcast hour number 2 yesterday at The Drive.
Yeah.
Buffs, best of luck. We'll do this again tomorrow at Stoney's on 11th and Lincoln from 2 to 6.
Oh, keep your hand raised because you're always wrong.
Oh, thanks. Shout out KJ behind the glass and Drew and Richie, our whole team here behind the scenes. We step aside because Denver Sports Tonight is coming up next.